Mark chapter 6.
Mark chapter 6. And I want to read starting in verse 30. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, down through verse 37. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd give me clarity of thought. I pray that this message would be a blessing to your people here tonight. Father, we thank you for this church. I thank you for how welcoming they are and have been. And Lord, we just look forward to time going forward with them. And Lord, just bless our time together here this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought I want to look at this evening is the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ had. And you see that in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. There was a lot going on. There's a lot going on in this passage. And yet, with all the busyness and with everything, all the serving that was going on and not even having enough time to eat, the Lord still looked out and saw all these people and had compassion toward them, was moved with compassion toward them. So I want to focus on that because to me, this isn't just to me. Jesus is our greatest example, is he not, of someone that would always please the Father. And we are to be conformed more and more into the image of his Son. And we're supposed to be more and more like him as we grow and as we spend time in his word and spend time in his house. We ought to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I see this passage, I want to encourage all of us to have that same response to an inconvenient situation. Even when we're tired, even when there's so much going on, and yet he had compassion on them. So first of all, I want to notice the Lord's consideration of the disciples. We see in verse 31, and he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They had a lot going on. They were tired. And why were they tired? It wasn't because they stayed up late too much the night before, or they were out doing too many things. They were tired doing exactly what it is that they were supposed to be doing. And sometimes we are tired that way. We're just serving the Lord. We could be doing what he would have us to do and yet be tired because it's labor. We labor for the Lord. That is work. And he was considerate of them. They were tired. They were tired from, well, look at verses 12 and 13. What had just happened before this time here? Verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. They were doing what the Lord had commanded them to do there in verse 7 and 8 and 9. Well, I'm sorry. And he told them what they ought to do, to go out and to preach. And don't take a bunch of stuff with you. Go out and do, preach. preach repentance. And that's what they did. And he gave them clear instructions on how to do that. So they went out and they preached. And they were tired from doing exactly what it is that they were supposed to be doing. And I always thought and been taught, it's good to be tired from doing the right thing. You ever just have you're serving and you're tired, but it's a good tired. But they were, and the Lord was considerate of that. He said, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. Just take a breather here. And he was considerate of his disciples. They probably had a lot on their minds, thinking about everything that had just taken place and going out and preaching and the Lord giving that enablement to them to be able to heal and all of that. And then on top of that, hearing the news of John the Baptist being killed, that would have taken a toll on them. Look at verse 29 of the same. It says, and when his disciples heard of it, this is speaking of John the Baptist was beheaded. I got to get back to where the verse was. Yeah. They came and took up his corpse and laid in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves unto Jesus and told him all things, both they had done and what they had taught. If you would, for a minute, turn over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, similar, but it gives a little bit more details tying this to what's all going on, because this was kind of, it's telling the story of what had happened with John the Baptist and with Herod and how that all took place. But Matthew 14:11, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. He went and told Jesus, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When they had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So they were tired. They were doing exactly what it is that the Lord had called them to do, and he was being considerate of that. So not only were they tired, they lacked time. Said there back in verse 31 of our text, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. That's pretty busy. That's pretty busy for a Baptist too, to be so busy that you can't even eat. And so they lacked time, and they were busy, but it was a good busy, and it was a good tired, and the Lord was considerate to them of that. And so in verse 32, they departed into a desert place by ship privately. But the crowd still, they noticed. They noticed what was going on, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and they're chasing after. Because they know he's gaining popularity. They understand this. A lot of people followed him, maybe out of curiosity. Maybe they were wanting to be healed themselves. And some were genuine, but they were following him, and they noticed they were leaving, so they were following. And it says, and out went them, or many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him, unto the Lord. So they lacked time yet, and they tried to get away, and they were going, but these crowds were still following. And to our main verse that I was thinking of, verse 34, in Jesus, we see Jesus' compassion. First of all, we see his consideration of the disciples, but then we see here his compassion on this crowd. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. He was compassionate for this multitude, and he didn't see them as an inconvenience. And he would have been physically tired as well. We know the Lord, in his humanity, we know there were times where he was tired. We know there were times where he thirsted and hungered. And he wasn't exempt from that. He came and suffered in that same way. And so he would have been tired as well. But he cared more about these than that. right? I wonder how his disciples were thinking. Well, we don't have to wonder. We can read. How did his disciples react to all of these people? Now, we finally get a chance to go and get a breather, and here comes all these people still following. And how did they think of it? Well, it's getting late. It's getting late. These people need to go. They need to go apart and get food. They got to get out of here. We need to send them away. But the Lord had compassion on them, and he saw their need. He saw their need. It says they had, and we can read and see that they had not only a physical need of food, but they had a spiritual need. And he noticed that, and of course he did. He's the Lord, but it says, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. They were as sheep without a shepherd, which is a sad sight. And it reminds me of this book that I read about a year or two ago. Brother Bowen always, when he got to talking about shepherds and Psalm 23, he always would mention this book written by, I think the last name was Keller. And I finally went out and bought it. And it was a really interesting book. And I enjoyed reading it because it was from the perspective of, it was Psalm 23 from the perspective of someone that had been a shepherd. And there was just a lot of insight and a lot of things you can learn from it. And I really enjoyed the book. And so when it says, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, I'm reminded of a part of that book where he's talking about the neighbor. He was a shepherd, and he was talking about when he was shepherding, and then he took really good care of his sheep, and they had good pastures, and he was tying it to Psalm 23 the whole time. But on the other side of the fence, the neighbors had some sheep, but they didn't take care of them. And the sheep were malnourished, they didn't have food to eat, and they were in really rough shape. And he noticed that, and it bothered him, but he wasn't their shepherd. But he mentioned that there were times where those sheep would be standing at the fence and looking over across and seeing all the lush grass on his side, and there would be a time of year where the tide would get low enough to where some of those sheep would go down, because it was like around a coastline, they would go down to the end of that, and they can get around the fence because the tide was so low, and they would come over into his side, and they would just completely gorge themselves on this lush grass, but they were so malnourished that it would really just be terrible for them to the point of dying, many of them, because they were just, they didn't have that. And they were just, it was in rough shape because they weren't taken care of. And it was a sad sight for him, and there was really nothing he could do, he says in the book. He could only put them in a wheelbarrow and take them back over to his neighbor, who would many times just end the sheep. And it's just a sad thing. And I thought about that. But the Lord, when you see people, the Lord saw the multitudes, and he saw their need. He saw them for what they were. They were a sheep without a shepherd. Just they were hopeless. They couldn't do anything about it, just like these sheep was a real story, I believe, in that book, is they were just completely hopeless. But with the Lord, there is hope, and he can meet that need. He can do a lot more than this shepherd could in that situation there. They had a spiritual need. So it says he had compassion on them, and because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, it says, and he began to teach them many things. He began to teach them many things. So he saw their need and met it, both spiritually, giving them the teaching that they would have needed, but also, obviously, as the account goes on, was about to meet their physical need in a way that was going to blow everyone's mind. I don't know if maybe they all realized what was going on, but surely the disciples, they had to realize what was going on. And he was moved with compassion toward them. He was also, according to Matthew's account in Matthew 14, I had the verse here, met their physical needs in other ways. It says he was moved with compassion towards them and healed their sick. So there was some healing there. And the thing, one of the other things about this that really blows my mind is that Jesus knew everything about everyone in this crowd. And yet, He still was willing to help them, even the ones that would have rejected his teaching, even the ones that he still, and that's amazing, because if I was going up to someone and I was going to give them the gospel, but I knew they're not going to receive it, what would you do in that situation? Sad to say, but the Lord knows everything, and yet he still would teach people, he'd still meet needs and things like that. Even Judas, with all that time that he had with him, knowing he was going to betray, yet the Lord still served and still taught and still ministered in many ways and poured himself into someone knowing that they were going to betray him. That's how the Lord was. He and is. But he had compassion on the multitude. I think of that with myself. Jesus knew everything about me, even before I existed. And yet, he knew all the times I would sin, all the times I'd mess up, yet he still blesses me, yet he still saved me. And that's amazing. And that's the Lord, and that's the kind of compassion that he showed. And he saw their need, and he supplied their need. As I said, spiritually, he began to teach them many things. And it had to have been amazing to sit there and listen to the Lord when he's teaching. That had to have been wonderful. And we can read much of what he said, and we're thankful for that. Well, there's that passage that talks about there's many other things that you couldn't contain it. I like the hymn, The Love of God, that talked about, you know, the ink, the ocean were ink and the sky a scroll. I'm botching it. I was really upset when it wasn't in our new hymn book at Flat Rock. How do you not have that? I don't know if it's in this hymn book or not, but it's a good hymn, but just you couldn't contain it. All of the things that he did and how amazing he is couldn't be written in a book. There wouldn't be enough pages. There wouldn't be enough ink. Anyway, so he supplied their need spiritually. He supplied their need physically, which we'll get into here in a moment. But I think of God's compassion on his people, on me. Look at, well, you can turn there, Psalm 86 and verse 15. Psalm 86. And verse 15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." And that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. And don't get me wrong, when I say compassion and the Lord's compassion and the compassion that we're supposed to show towards those around us, that doesn't equal condoning of sin. I understand that, but we ought to see people in their needs and give them what they need. Give them the gospel. Teach them, if it's a brother or sister in Christ, be willing to teach and help in that way. And to the Lord, he's full of compassion. Ezekiel chapter 16, if you will, Ezekiel 16. If I haven't mentioned it here before, I read this passage a few years ago, and it always comes to my mind now, because it gives this illustration it's a very graphic illustration of a baby that was tossed and completely helpless and abandoned. And look at verse 5 and 6. If I can get there. 5 and 6. It says, "None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou wast cast in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." This illustration here, again, in the context, children of Israel, and I understand that, but there's a principle here that when we're born with a sin nature, we're born as someone that's never going to seek after God, and we're helpless, we'd never be smart enough. Unless someone were to pass by us, as the Lord did, we would have never, if we're saved, we would have never become smart enough or anything like that. We were helpless. As this illustration of this baby, that unless someone were to pass by and rescue that, there was no way they were going to live. And we were dead in trespasses and sins. But the Lord passed by and said, live. And all the glory goes to him, that compassion that he showed on us. It's hard to fathom. Look at Ephesians, to give a New Testament example, of Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1 through 5. And you hath he quickened. He made us alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And we walked according to our old nature, and in our old nature didn't have the ability to seek after God, would never have, yet he quickened us. And that kind of compassion on me, it just blows my mind that he would do that. And so he had this, that's the kind of compassion that the Lord has. And that's the kind of compassion that we ought to have towards others. Of, I can't save them, but I can tell them who can. I can tell them what they need to hear. And they might not receive it, but that's the most loving thing. You try to tell someone about the Lord, and they might call that hate speech. But in reality, you know, it's the most loving thing that we could do, is tell them about their need for Christ and tell them about how he met that need. And then back in our text, we see here Jesus' command. So the disciples, again, they said, well, verse 35, and when the day was far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and the time is now far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And what was his command? Verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. That was the command. I would imagine, based on what you read next and in the parallel accounts, that was confusing to them. They were like, but so what did they say? And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? In other words, what are we going to do? Go buy all this food? Like, how are we going to do that? Like, we can't do that. And, of course, they couldn't, but the Lord was about to show them an amazing miracle about how he could. And so he told them, give ye them to eat, and they were confused by that because it defied human logic. It defied human reasoning. And that's why many people, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Obviously we're talking about the disciples here. They knew Jesus as their Savior. But many things in God's Word, many commands, even the non-miraculous ones, even the ones to us where we're commanded to do stuff, it might not make sense to us. Well, if I do that, how is that supposed to work out? If I step out by faith in this area, I just don't understand how that is going to work out for me. And we get to kind of focusing on ourselves when we say or think statements like that. And it defies our human reasoning. And how many times in the scripture, though, we can read about accounts where what they were told to do, didn't make a whole lot of sense for the situation. Well, you go walk around the walls and what? And but they did it. Go dip in the Jordan. Of course, Naaman didn't like that. And I think we mentioned that recently. And just time after time in the scripture, but when they obeyed what it was, the Lord blessed and did amazing, wonderful things. And this was just going to be another time like that. But it just encourages me that next time I'm in a situation where that doesn't make sense to me, I know what God's word says I'm supposed to do. In my mind, it doesn't make sense that how me doing that is going to work. And yet you do it and you see God bless. I was taught at Flat Rock in the teen class by Brother Lentz. That's my weekly mention of him. He taught us on tithing. And at the time, it was right before, but then I started working at Kroger and $6.25 an hour. And my tithe was very small because I didn't work that many hours because I was in high school and then I was in college. And to be honest with you, I probably should have worked more hours. But they also didn't like the fact that I said, I'm not working on Sundays and I'm not working on Wednesdays. And I didn't hit that many hours because they said my schedule was too restrictive. But I knew I was taught, you need to tithe. That's what the scriptures teach to do. And so I did that and whatever that was. And then it got to the Lord has blessed. And at that time, I had no money anyway, so I just tithe. I mean, it was like $6. You know, I didn't have any. My check, when your check is like less than $100, like. But then the Lord blessed my family. Well, this was before I was married, but like as time went on, and it blows my mind how the Lord has blessed. And I remember Brother Lentz teaching us, just obey what God's word says. And this is just a simple area. And so we tithe and we do an offering. And over the years, the Lord just keeps blessing and blessing. And I'm not saying it's a health and wellness thing and well, you tithe and the Lord's going to make you rich or something. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he blesses that. And he's always provided for my needs. I've never even had to think about the tithe part. We do our budget. It's automatic. You don't even have to think about it. And yet the Lord always meets the needs. It's amazing. And that will defy human logic. For some people, they say, well, I don't understand how you do that. And it's like, you get to the point where you're like, well, I don't understand how one wouldn't, because it's just, but that's just one example. And I'm not trying to beat on that, but the Lord's blessed me and I was taught in that. And from I know from personal experience that that's just an example that we could look at, because I'm not walking around the city and yelling or anything, or I don't have to do, none of those things are happening, but we have what God's word tells us to do. So this defied human logic though for them. They didn't make sense because they didn't have enough bread. And then he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say 5 and 2 fishes. So this whole thing about go give them to eat after they just said, or then they said, we can't. And of course, the Lord knew that. It also displayed his lordship, the Lord's lordship. He had authority. He had the authority to command their obedience in this. And you could do a study on the miracles of Christ. And I don't know what number this one is in there, but they would have already witnessed some pretty amazing things to this point. And so maybe even like 18 other miracles, if I study that right, had already happened before this one. They saw many things. They saw the Lord's power on display several times. And so maybe they were like, okay, this is going to get interesting. I don't know how this is about to work out. But the Lord was about to show them, obviously. Watch and see. To think about this, just I'll quickly insert this from the perspective of, and I say this, not something that I really ever thought about much until another reference of a song. Greater Vision did this song about the perspective of that young boy that gave his lunch that day. And it's It's not in the scriptures, but it's an interesting song. Rodney Griffin's always good at writing songs like that, of the perspective of that boy, now he's grown and he has a family, and they're sitting around the table and they don't really know where their next meal is going to come. And then he goes and says, well, let me tell you the story again of what the Lord did. And there are other people that experienced this miracle. And so I just thought I'd insert that. It's kind of a cool song. But he said, and we know the rest of it. He commanded them to make them all sit down. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And we had taken the five loaves and two fishes. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they did that eat. I can't read. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That was just the men that was mentioned. There were other people. There were women and children. There were a lot of people that were fed by this. And it was just amazing. It was amazing that he did that. And what does that do for us? Like, what is the lesson there for us? Because I can't take someone's food and multiply it like that. I don't have that ability to do that. You don't either. But I think the lesson is the compassion that he had on them, or one of the lessons. There's many things you could learn from this passage of scripture, but we ought to have that same kind of compassion to, I can't, well, it's just like we last Sunday talked about Peter saying, I can't give you the money that you're asking for, but of course he could heal them. I can't do that either, but we can tell them about the Lord and have that same kind of attitude, that same response when I'm tired and I've had a long day and I might have been doing exactly what it is that I'm supposed to do and I finally have a breather and then I come across someone and I know I need to give them the gospel. They need it. And how am I going to respond in that situation? How are you going to respond in that situation? Well, I'm tired. I need a break. I've done enough today. Or I need to go and tell them. Yeah, or just be kind in a general way to someone. And that opens up the doors that way. And there's to us, look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We read these verses this morning in Sunday school. It just hit me. But that's how we're supposed to be, kind, merciful, meek, long-suffering. Not, I don't have time for that. I'm tired. And I think too many times I can be that way. Too many times God's people can be that way, to where we just get to where we're too tired, we're too busy, and we pass opportunities that we had to be a blessing on someone in some way. And it may not be someone who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. It could be a brother and sister in Christ, and no, I know they have a need, but I'm too tired. There's ways that we can be a blessing to others. We can read the account of the Good Samaritan. I won't turn over there, but in Luke chapter 10, we know that parable. And who can't? There's two people that saw that man, and passed by. And the first one was a priest. And you would think, oh, surely they might stop and help. Nope. Then it was a Levite, and came and looked on him. This just hit me. I'm studying for the message this morning. I didn't do the word study, but that first person saw him. They visually noticed him. The second person just stopped and looked for a second there. They gazed upon it. They looked upon him and still passed by on the other side. But then, of all people, a Samaritan came where he was and saw him and what? And had compassion on him. And that's how we ought to be. And that was in the context and the account of all that, for him to say that and say that it was a Samaritan that did it had some extra meaning to them in that situation. But we ought to have compassion on those with needs. We ought to be, because the Lord was that way. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The Lord Jesus Christ, of all, God in the flesh, God the Son, took upon him the form of the servant. He didn't come that first time to rule and reign. That's why so many people misunderstood him when he came. They thought, I thought the Messiah was going to come and rule and reign and set up his kingdom. And so that's why many of the Jews rejected him. But he came and served and humbled himself and washed the disciples' feet and had compassion on many people and set aside his own physical needs many times to help others. And that's the kind of mind that ought to be in us. If the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, did that, who am I to not? Who am I not to not have some compassion on people once in a while and help them out if there's an opportunity? Well, when we're out in the world, we're out in a crowd, just be honest. If you're in a busy place out in the world, and or just around a lot of people out in the world, which I guess would mean a busy place, what's running through your mind as you look around? I used to, because I work in Warren now for the moment. I used to work at the Ren Center downtown in Detroit, and there's a river walk there. And I used to, on my lunch, go and walk down the river walk. I really like to do that. And a lot of times listen to a sermon or something, but I'd walk down there. And one day I was walking down there. Well, this happened a lot. And I'm from Michigan, and you understand the laws are different there, right? And so every couple of hundred feet, I'd just catch a whiff of something, and it just annoyed me. It just made me mad. And that one time, I remember somebody they were on the phone and they were being pretty loud, but they were talking about God, but they were doing it in kind of a, they were like, oh, he's the man. And like, it wasn't good. And I was annoyed by that. And I was just annoyed that day. And I was convicted of that later because I'm like, I'm walking by these people and I'm just mad. And it's just the world being the world, just acting according to their nature. It didn't go through my mind, hey, maybe you should stop and talk to one of these people, talk about the Lord here for a minute. I was just annoyed. And how many times, because the longer since I was saved, as time goes on, and the older I get, the kind of more I just get tired of what I see out in the world. But if I'm supposed to have this mind that was also in Christ Jesus, I'm supposed to go and give them what they need and give them the gospel and be ready to do that. And I, of all things, listening to a sermon or listening to some Bible reading and that, and still while doing that, would get annoyed at those things out in a crowd. And that's not how we're supposed to be. And was 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I was not ready that day. I just wasn't. But my point is, Jesus saw a crowd of needy people and he had compassion. We're supposed to be that way. If I see a crowd of people, my mind should be, these people need Christ. Let's see if there's an opportunity here. It's not that hard to strike up a conversation. We just don't want to do it because we're afraid. I'll say that about me. I'm not going to accuse you. Many times when I shy away, I'm just afraid because I'm afraid they're going to reject me. But in reality, I know, according to the scripture, they're not rejecting me. And when I say I'm not going to do that because they might reject me, that's a sin of pride because now I'm making it about me. So on top of the fact that I'm not witnessing to them and obeying that way, I'm being prideful about me in my comfort. And that's not how we're supposed to be. We should see people and see their need. See that this might be the one time you ever see that person. There's people that were in my life, and I even knew their need, and yet I didn't take the opportunity because I thought I'd have another one, and I didn't because they passed away. And that bothers me a lot. And I know that the Lord is sovereign, and I understand all that, but I'm still guilty of not telling them. And one of them was my dad. And, you know, that bothered me for a long time. I was pretty young. And so we got to take those opportunities. You got to take those opportunities when you have witness. And when we get into conversations with others, because we do actually have conversations. We don't just ignore everyone, right? We do get in conversations with people. What are we going to do? How are we going to turn that conversation? What is our general attitude toward, how are we in front of them? Are we always angry or standoffish, or are we just, let me tell you, if you have a moment here, I'm just wondering, do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you were to die, do you know Christ? Do you know if you would go to heaven if you were to die? And just strike up a conversation. And yes, some people won't like that. And that is how it is, because they'll reject it if the Lord's not working in their heart at that moment. But we still have to do it. We're still commanded to do it. And that's how we're supposed to be. And the Lord had compassion. How many times did he was compassionate, but he never condoned sin. But he was compassionate and ready, willing, and definitely able to meet their needs. And many of people's needs I can't meet, but their greatest need, I can tell them who can. I can't meet it, but the Lord can. And the Bible talks about, I'm not going to turn there, 1 John 3, and end up, Lord willing, talking about it anyway. It's about talking about who has the world's good, and they see someone in need, and they shut up their bowels of compassion on them. And that's not evidence of someone that loves the Lord. That's not evidence of a saved person. But look, let's just close in Matthew chapter 9. And verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel in the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And here he is telling them, this is what we need to do. And there are people that the Lord's going to save. We're still here. And there's still people that are going to be saved. We need to labor in that way. They were laboring. In fact, in this account that we were just looking at this evening, they were laboring that labor of preaching repentance to them. And then here these people are with the physical need, and the Lord still had compassion on them. But that's how we ought to be, just seeing people as, just seeing crowds and seeing people as people that need the Lord. And there's a lot. If we're really sensitive to it and sensitive to the Lord and in his word and close to him, we're going to see people and see that they have a need. And Jesus, he didn't see needy people as a burden. He was compassionate towards them, both for their spiritual and their physical needs. And we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be like him. And we should take his example and be moved with compassion towards those that are helpless, those that are hopeless, and share the love of Christ with them, because there is hope for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be willing to do that. Don't see people as a burden. See them as an opportunity. Sometimes you could try to witness to someone, and they can say, I know the Lord as my Savior. I had that happen to me. I don't know if you know Brother Ashby from Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Wyandotte. Brother Ashby is a guy that he's always passing out tracts. And back when I worked at Kroger, I told you that already, I was a bagger at first, and he comes up through the line, and he starts giving me a tract and witnessing to me. And I was like, Brother Ashby, I know you. But that's just how he was. And I was younger. He knows me better now. But I was like, I know you. But I that was how he is. He's still that way. And every time I see him, he tells me he's praying for people. And I'm thankful for that. But that's how he is. That's how we ought to be. Just be always ready. And he's a blessing in that way. But let's have that compassion on others. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we're able to spend in your house. Lord, it's easy many times in your house to amen and to sing and to praise you. And the hard part is when we leave, or now we need to go and put these things into practice. It's easier for me to say this up here than to go out there and do what I just said. But I pray that you give us a heart for people, Lord, that you give us eyes to see the needs around us, Lord, and not see people around us in the world as just a burden or people that are wicked. Lord, they need you. And if it wasn't for your mercy on us, we would be the same way. And we thank you for how you've saved us, many of us here. Father, help us to go forward from this place, just wanting to demonstrate that attitude of compassion on others. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, help them to understand there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we could ever do but just put our faith and trust in him and his sacrifice. Repent of our sins. Lord, I do pray that you might save someone even today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand together, and we'll have a verse of a hymn.